Taking it or paying the price, that's what I was saying.
Okay. Or pay the price.
That's long tango.
Do you know what the price can be?
Omanyomu tango cheguli.
Does anybody know what the price can be?
Wali wama ni omutange kwenge zako kogeda wakufana nako.
Amen. You know, I've been coming here since 2008. Is it 2008? And each time we come, God, you know, is saying something to you. Amen.
Amina.
I have a problem. You know, I don't know whether you can help me with the problem. Can you help me with my problem? Do you know what my problem is? Oh, I thought you know what my problem is. My problem is that I must tell you the truth. That's the problem I have. You know, I cannot do anything but tell you the truth. That's my problem. Do you understand my problem? My problem is that I must tell you the truth. I do not have the ability not to tell you the truth. Okay, so what shall we do now? What shall we do? Do our guys sit down or to tell you the truth? Yes? What should I do? I have a problem. I should tell you, I've told you my problem. My problem is that I cannot do anything but tell you the truth. That's my problem. I should guys sit down or tell you the truth. So you want me to tell you what God is saying to me? Okay. Because what God is saying to you, He's also saying to me. Because when I tell you the truth, then I too will hear what God is saying to me. Amen. You know the way you are sitting. Let's start with that. Do you always sit like this? Sometimes. Okay. Why don't you sit like this all the time? It will become a religion. Okay, can we read from the scripture?
2
Timothy. Chapter 3. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Can we read it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
All scripture
is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto good works. Amen.
Amina.
You know, so what does it say the scripture is to do for us? It's for instruction. Is it not so?
Yeah.
What does instruction mean?
What
does instruction mean?
Who
can tell us? To teach. Okay, somebody say instruction means to teach somebody. Somebody has to guide. Okay. Then he says, so that's number one. The scripture is good to teach, to give instruction, to give you a direction. Is it not so? And that's what Brother Bot was doing, you know, giving you that direction and guiding. What else is the scripture supposed to do for you? For reproof. What does reproof mean? Yes, who has? What does reproof mean? Reproof. Reproof. What does it mean to reprove somebody? You don't know what to reprove means. Okay, you know approve, but this is reprove. Somebody says rebuke. Is that correct?
It is too full.
Who are the teachers here?
Our students are very well, no?
Well, if you're a teacher, raise your hand. What does reproof mean, sister? What? To pardon? No, how can reproof mean to pardon? What does reproof mean? Sister? Yes? To affirm, reproof. If you are reproving something, is it affirm? Reproof means what?
Yes? Reproof means someone has been going a wrong side.
Yes.
See that they are in a
wrong position and go to another one.
A different and right direction.
Okay, do you agree with her? That the scripture is to tell you that you are going the wrong direction and to show you the right direction to go. Is that correct? Is that correct? What is the problem? Is there the problem? You're not sure. Okay, you're not sure. Okay, let's look at it. I'm trying to look at get the Greek word. I want to get the Greek. Okay, the Greek is saying what my sister was saying.
He
says a proof,
okakasa,
a conviction,
okulumirizibwa,
evidence.
Obukakafu.
Okay, a proof that which a thing is proved or tested. So the scripture is supposed to give you evidence that this is the way in which you are to go. So the Bible says that faith is evidence
of
things hoped for, the substance of things, a substance of what? Okay, good. So the scripture is supposed to reprove or to instruct. What is again is it supposed to do?
It
says for correction. And somewhere for rebuke. I have a feeling in my spirit that God wants to bring a rebuke to you. And that is what Brother Bot was doing. I don't know if you were able to pick it up. God is rebuking the church. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I entered, I walked through this door and came in this morning. What I saw was not worship. I saw a theater. Some people were observing the performance. And after you finish, you clapped for the performance. You were not part of what was going on. There was a disconnection. So I wouldn't say I came into a church. I had to touch myself to tell me where I am. Did anybody feel like me? Did you feel like me? Okay, did anybody feel like me? You know, he was telling us about Hillel. That Hillel, his whole body was instrument. So don't ever think you can compete with the devil. You know, worship It's not what you do when you come in here. It's what happens between you and your wife in your home. It is the discussion you are having with your friend. That's worship. The thoughts you are thinking in your mind, that is worship. And you know, as I sat down there, God is showing me that you don't have much time. You think you have time, but you don't have time at all. I know, when God gives somebody an opportunity, God gives an opportunity. You know, if you don't take that opportunity, God is going to move on. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When God gives you an opportunity, and you don't take the opportunity, God does not have any favorite son. Or have any favorite daughter. That is to say, as far as God is concerned, anything God must do, I must be part of it. That is what God does not owe you. Or owe to me, because he's not a respecter of persons. But you see, the people in the church, we imagine that God is our houseboy. And we can just do anything we like and just get away with it. I want to tell you that there is a race against time. There is no time. And God is working to raise a people against a time.
Katonda akola nga azukusa abantu abala abantu obudde buweddeyo.
And I'm telling you, the work God is giving you is for a time.
Katonda omulimu gwakuwadde gwa kiseera.
And what I hear and what I see God saying is that the time is running out.
Ate era ku kyenda wandeke mpulira nti obudde bugwayo ku lulwo.
For you as a people.
Nga mu abantu.
And you have to decide whether you want church or you want God. You have to decide what you want. Because I'm seeing a situation where you are going around in circles. Going around in circles. I have been coming and going for a number of years, so I have the authority to say what I'm saying. You know, but I've already read the scripture of a people ever learning and not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So when God is giving you something, and you're always learning, but you never really grasp. Then there's a problem. And as I sat down, I was just praying and talking with God. I'm saying, what is the problem? How do we address this? How do we address the situation? The Brother Wilson strengthened my hand a bit. When he was praying, he said, well, that he's asking that whatever God wants us to do, we should do it, whether it's a word of correction or encouragement or whatever. That strengthened me a bit. You know, those three Hebrew children, as Brother Bot was saying, I believe they walked into the fire. They walked into the fire. Are you ready to walk into the fire? Are you ready to walk into the fire? That is, you want to throw yourself. Say, God, anything you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Is this assembly ready to obey God? Are you ready? It's not going to be like eating chapati. Are you ready to obey God? Okay. We're going to see it. Now, I'm going to give you, share with you some hard facts. Hard facts. There's a difference between church and fellowship. There's a difference between a relationship and religion. Do we know the difference between a church and fellowship? Between religion and relationship. So what does God want? Is it relationship or religion? You know what religion is? Religion is routine. As it was in the beginning. And now it's going to be like that tomorrow. That is religion. And the Bible says that when you bring your offering, you must not bring it with honey. You should not bring it with honey. Because see, honey has a way of coating everything and make it look sweet and look good.
Kubanga temwongo mbale tetwe bale chama temina chile tagamanga mchisize ko ngisi gwenju kubanga ngisi gwenju chikubera kuomerera.
Because says when you come to him, you come as you are.
Kigamba ikatonda gamba wowo jaja jangu ngabuli.
So it is called an offering.
Kigamba chibiranga chiwebwayo.
I give myself to you as I am.
Nzene wayo joli ngabwendi.
So that means when you come to God, you are just coming. There's no mask. There is no double life. So as I'm talking to you, I have many problems. I'm not to tell you that I'm perfect. Or I know it all. And I'm praying that God will help me to overcome. Amen.
Amina.
See, this where you are is a platform. Do you know it is a platform? This place is not the house of God. It is only what is this? Asbestos and zinc that you have put around this place. Now, the reason for that is because you don't want the sun to be disturbing you, isn't
that
so? You don't want the rain to be disturbing you when you come
here.
You want something that's comfortable for you to be able to meet. Now, there's no problem if some of you think that this place is the holy house of God. So that when you come in here, you are walking very quietly and very smoothly. You can only walk in the light that you have. You can never do anything beyond what you know. So God has no problem with that. But what God has problem is when God shows you the way. And then you tell God you have the right to remain what you are. Because that's the problem with the church. We are telling God we have the right to be carnal. I have the right to be carnal. So even when God is telling you this is the way to go, you say, no, I have the right to remain where I am. It's called rebellion. And every rebel must be judged. The chief rebel is Hillel. I don't want to partake that judgment with him. The devil rebelled against God. Against God's order. And I want to tell you that there is a rebellion in the church. I want to tell you that the church that Jesus Christ is going to meet, or the church of the end time, is a rebellious church. Second Thessalonians says that day will not come until there is a falling away from the church. The Hebrew word, the Greek word there is apostasia. It means rebellion. What the scripture is saying that at the end of time, how you will know you are in the end time is that there will be a rebellion in the church. So you have to be careful about church. Me, I'm afraid of anything called church. Because my Bible tells me that there will be a rebellion in the end time. Let us look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says there was a rebellion in the church.
2
Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come until there is until there comes a falling away first. The word falling away, I want to get it from scripture so you won't think I'm trying to make it away. Okay. The word is apostasia, and it means a falling away, a defection, to turn from one side to the other. And then he says apostasy. He said the day of Christ will not come unless you have an apostasy. Do you want to be part of the apostasy? Are you sure? If you don't want to be part of the apostasy, then why are you insisting that you must continue in the way you are walking? Now, the problem is not your situation. The problem is, are you willing to change? The church system that you inherited in Uganda. The church system that I came to know when I got born again in Nigeria. Even before I became a Christian, was already in rebellion against God. And that rebellion is even getting stronger now. So let's answer the first question. What is the temple of God? Yes, who can tell us? What is the temple of God? Yes? Where? In you.
Mugwe.
Okay. So she says she's the temple of God. Yes, any other answer?
What do you want to talk about?
Yes. Okay. That he says he's God's dwelling place. Yes. What is the problem with you people? How about this hall? This is not the. Okay. This is the holy altar of God. This is the holy altar of God. Okay, where is the altar of God? In your heart.
Amen.
You know, there's a difference between knowledge and action. And that's what Brother Bot was talking about. You see, you can know the book. But when you are walking, you walk as though this is the church. So now, tell yourself the truth. How have you been operating? When you woke up this morning, did you realize that the altar is here? How many people, don't raise your hand, how many people realized this morning that this is where the altar is and this is not the altar.
Abange temwanika mikono na yego webuze ekibuzo bameka abakizudde nti eno ye yekalo bakino kye choto kya mukama sike kino. Bameka towanika mikono.
Well, whatever you say,
buli kyogamba kyonna,
I know the truth.
Nze amazima nga mani.
Do you know why I know the truth?
Omani bakimanya amazima.
When I came in this morning and sat there, I didn't see any fire. I didn't see any fire. So I know the truth. And if you are sincere with yourself, you know the truth. Do you know why? Any temple that God built, there must be an evidence. There is only one thing that is the proof of God's temple. What is that proof? Yes? Who knows the proof? Yes, somebody else. What is the proof of God's altar or God's temple? It's called fire. When Solomon built the altar, what happened? Fire came down. When Moses built the altar, what happened? Fire came down. If you realize that you are the temple, then you will be carrying fire. When you come together, everybody has fire, isn't it so? What will, you know, that's what Robert was saying. When you stay, if I stay in my own, I have a fire. No matter whatever I do, my fire is only limited, can only be limited. But if I come together with this brother, and I come together with you, and all of us have fire, what will happen? It's called an explosion. Hallelujah. It's called explosion. My fire will quicken his fire. His fire will quicken me. And that is what God is expecting from you and from me. So when you come together, you should have an offering in your heart. Amen. Because you are having a relationship with God. You are relating with God. I know, Brother Bot has spoken about that relationship so well. And that is the basis of fellowship. So when you come together in a locality, it is the temples of God coming together. It becomes the city of God. And the Bible says, in my father's house, there are many houses. And when you bring that offering in your heart, then God comes to approve. God comes to approve your sacrifice. You know, there were two brothers, Abel and Cain. They had offering. God approved one, and God did not approve the other one. What was the reason for the approval? One brought an offering of blood. The offering must be by blood. The other one brought an offering in rebellion.
ate oli n'aleeta ekiweebwayo mu bujeemu
of the works of his hand.
Kulwebye emirimu gy'emikono gye.
In the offering is blood. There must be blood in the offering. The offering speaks of your life. God wants an offering from you. He wants your life on the altar. But what we see today is religion. You know, we depend on the instruments to help us praise God. You don't need instrument to praise God. God is looking at your heart. It is the heart that God responds to. The instruments are there just to add some color to it. But today, what we have today in the church is entertainment. Hollywood.
Hollywood.
And what we see in the church today is a mechanism of worship. Songs from the lips, but the heart is far from
God.
So, brethren, God is not pleased with you. I didn't say you are so bad. But you know, God has his children, and those whom he loves, what does he do to them? He will
chastise.
So that means, Abaninya, God loves you. Amen. So if God loves you, he will correct you. And God brings correction because he sees a capacity. And that capacity is for you to do better. Amen.
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 Do you want to follow God's order? If you want to follow God's order, raise your hand.
Well,
we will show you. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'll show you order. This is what God showed me. I'm going to share with you what God showed me. What God showed some of us, like you. I see so much potential here. But I see you are wasting your potential. Because you are following the church pattern. And you cannot go far. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 26. See, how is it, brethren, that when you come together, every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, or had a tongue, or had a revelation, or had an interpretation, and he said, let all things be done in
order.
So who can tell me what does this scripture mean? In practice, what does it mean? What does it mean? Yes? Yes, we're having fellowship. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just sharing what God has in my hand. I want to hear from you. What does this scripture mean? Yes, mommy.
Yes,
okay, good. Okay. Do you practice what you say? Did you practice it today? Did you practice it last Sunday? Did you practice the Sunday before?
Okay,
problem with Sunday. Did you practice it on which other day? Do you mean? Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Did you do it on Wednesday? Did you do it the other Wednesday? Did you do it the Wednesday? You know, you are causing problem for my brother. And you are causing problems for the other people who are in leadership. What you are doing is what the people in Israel wanted to do to Jesus. Do you know what happened? When they saw great miracle from Jesus, do you know what they did? Say
hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Our King has come. Hey, King of Israel. Oh, yeah, go. What did Jesus do? He ran away. Church people always want a king. Church people always want pastor. Even when the man says, "I'm not pastor," he says, "You must be pastor, whether you like it or not." When he's walking around, he will say, "Pastor, come." And for Jesus, they wanted to make him king. And the Bible said that he walked amongst them. And even when he did miracles, he said, "Don't tell anyone." He did not seek preeminence among them. And it was so bad, so good, that when the Roman soldiers came, they were looking for Jesus. They stayed amongst them. Who is Jesus? I don't know. See, they are all like the same. They could not know who was the head. You know, if the Roman soldiers come into church today, they don't need any discernment to know who is the pastor, or pastor's wife, or who is the choir leader, or the music director, or the head of the children's department. Because the church has been changed. Even God cannot recognize the church. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you willing to obey God? That's the question. And in 2 days' time, I'm going to go to Malawi. And we will leave you and God to decide. Amen. You have a choice to make. Do you want to be a church? Or you want to be the people of God? The people of God is very clear. 1 Corinthians 14.
Abantu ba Katonda kiri kirambuludde waneno mu Bakolinse ekisooka 14.
This is the pattern of fellowship.
Enono yenkola gitwandikoze wetubanga tunakungana.
Of the New Testament church.
Kulwendagane mpya eyekanisa.
Do you know why?
Mumanyi lwaki?
Because in the New Testament,
kubanga mundagane mpya,
everybody is a priest.
Buli omu kabona.
Everybody is a priest. We know it in our heads, but we don't walk in it. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why when you come in here, you come into theater. In your heart, you have set up some people as pastors. And they are for those in leader, those of us who are in leadership. We love to be in charge. Let me tell you about myself. I like to be in charge. I like to be at the beginning. I want to be in everything. So I have to make extra effort to be like Jesus Christ, to run away. Amen. But there is something in man that wants to be in control. So even when the brother is fighting, he needs help. He needs help from the brethren to be able to minister to him. When you look at the tabernacle, it tells us the picture of what the fellowship should be. The tabernacle shows us that there are ministries in the body. But the ministries are kept in place by the body. Because you have the pillars. You have the bars. And then you have the boards, which represents the ministry. And the Bible said that you have rings of gold. And it is the ring of gold that brings the ministry and the body together. The bars are not above the body. They are in the midst of the body. The same thing with elders in the church. The same thing with leaders in the church. If somebody is a leader, it means it's somebody who is matured in the things of God. It is not saying he is superior. It is only saying that he is an example. Because in the church today, the leader will announce that there is fasting for 7 days, but he will be eating from Mr. Biggs. He will be eating the biggest food while the church people are fasting. But in the body, it should be that those who are in leadership should be the example. So in the body of Christ, there are leaders. Amen. Because in the house, there are fathers, isn't also? And there are mothers also in the house. The fathers and the mothers are to give direction, isn't it so?
Tata ne mama babera baleta okulungamya.
And they give direction by walking in it.
Era bawe okulungamizwa nga bakutambuliramu.
When the father is seeking God, then the children will learn and also follow and seek God.
Tata bwanabanga ali mukunonya Katonda, nabana bajja muyigira kera bamugoberere.
But the devil has changed it. And what you now have in the church is what they call pastor and then congregation. And in some places you have what they call deputy pastor.
Or,
and then you have a group of elders who are appointed by the senior pastor. So if you ask him, you say, yes, we have elders. When we went to Ethiopia, we see elders everywhere. But they were not working in the body ministry. So it's not just to say we have elders. Those who are matured are to be an example. And Peter said, I, who also am elder, and I speak to you. First Peter 5, Peter said, I am an elder. And then he was talking to the elders. That they should be examples. That they should not rule over the flock. Or to overshadow the flock. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I am the father in my house, and my children are not growing up, if at the age of 60 years I am still fetching water, I'm still going to the market to buy things. At 60 years, that's the problem. Amen.
Amina.
Say amen.
Amen.
So in the body, there must be growth. The older ones will be growing, and then the younger ones will also be growing. Not in rebellion, but in submission to God. And God is speaking to you that you need to be a body. The older ones here must encourage the younger ones to grow. And the younger ones must not walk in rebellion, say, hey, they don't want us to do something. When the younger son begins to rise up against the father, it's called rebellion, isn't it? Even if the father is wrong, God will judge you for rebellion. Don't you understand? So God is giving you an opportunity to make a transition. Amen.
Amen.
I know when you became a Christian, when you were, you know, in the things we are doing, this was the system you met. You met the system of pastor. The system of choir. Music director. All those things. They are not in the Bible. They are not in the Bible. What is in the Bible, I have showed you. Is that we all are brethren. He is my brother. Amen.
Amen.
He's much, much older than me. The things I'm telling you is what he taught me. But
he's
my brother. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not a pastor. If I call him pastor, he will drive me away. Amen.
Amen.
And we walk together. Every day I'm learning from him, learning so many things from him. Where is my brother? Amen. And he's encouraging me to grow. And when there is necessary need for correction, he brings correction. Amen.
Amen.
I have to tell you the truth. You must make a transition. Because if you continue in this system that you are running, you are going to run into the ground. I'm seeing you run into the ground already. I'm not talking about number. We have gone to a congregation where the whole place is filled up. You cannot feel the life of God. Amen. The church of the New Testament is different. And the basis of the church of the New Testament is the New Covenant. And that New Covenant says that you are the temple of God. And in this temple of God, your mind, your emotions, your desire, and your will are the ministers. It's different from what the church is saying. The church is telling you that the building is the temple of God. And that the pastor or the deputy pastor or the elders are the ministers. That is not true. Paul said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God?" If I am the temple, then who is the priest inside the temple? You, not Jesus, you are the temple. Then who is the minister inside this temple? Okay, let's get the answer. Before we get the answer, let's get some answers from
him.
Who is the minister inside this
temple?
Grace. Yes, who is the minister inside this temple? Christ. Serious. Who is the minister inside this temple? Your soul. What makes up your soul? She said her mind
in the words
is the minister. Yes, what else again is the minister? Her emotion is the minister. Her what? Desire is the minister.
Okay.
Good. So let's give you an example. If I slap you now, and you get annoyed with me, you are angry with me, can you bring an offering to God? Can you bring an offering that God will accept?
Oyinza okuleta ekiweebwayo Katonda kyanakkiriza.
Okay, she says first of all she has to go and settle with God or with me. Now this is what is happening amongst you. You are not taking care of your emotions. You are not working to overcome the emotions. Your emotions. You are not doing anything to overcome your emotions. You are not working to overcome your mind. The Bible says you must have the mind of Christ. The mind you have now is the mind of Buganda. You think like your father. Great, great father. If something knocks you on the leg, you say, no, my enemies have come against me. If you hear a noise on your roof in the night, say, nah, the witch doctor has come to kill
you.
But on Sunday, you come here and you are the hallelujah, you have worship. You must make a transition. The way you think is worship. In this new temple, the way your mind works, the feelings you have, those are the things that God is looking for. Do you know why? They came out, one young boy came and asked Jesus Christ, say, tell us the greatest commandment. What did Jesus answer?
Yes, you had the
say, you must love God. Where? With your mind. With your soul. Because those are the things that matter in this new covenant. So the question you must answer, are you following the old covenant or the new? I know you say you are a Pentecostal Christian. It's not in the Bible. Pentecostal Christian is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible says, therefore, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That is what's in the Bible. You are the living sacrifice. God is interested in your thoughts. So because of that, you must work to purify your thoughts. When you wake up in the morning, you begin a war to overcome the bad thoughts that are coming to you. That is the worship that is acceptable to God. Because this is the house of God. And the messenger of the covenant said he is suddenly coming to his house. If Jesus is coming to your house, would you not get the house ready? Malachi chapter 3, is it not so?
Malachi
says the messenger of the covenant is coming. And like a brother says, if we take your thoughts and project it on the wall, brother, your thoughts for last week,
we'll
project it on the wall. What does the Bible say? Say, let the thoughts of my heart and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. That is the New Testament. That is the New Testament priest. And that is what God is calling you to. God is calling for people that will come out of church, hiding behind tree. I have a pastor. Any problem, my pastor will do this. My pastor will do that. To realize that you are the priest. And the Bible says that every man shall be judged.
It
says, your works will be tried, my own works will be tried. And he said that some of us will suffer loss. Because our works is wood, hay, stubble. It was dead works. We are doing it just to please the leader or please this brother.
Bible
says that the sacrifices of God is the pure and broken and a contrite heart. Do you want more scriptures? Say the sacrifices of God is a broken and a contrite heart. In the Old Testament, it was a goat. In the new, it is your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you don't need anybody to teach you how to bring an offering to God. Because you have a heart. You have a mind. And it's working every day. And God is judging the heart. Samuel told and said, man looks on the outward, but I look on the inward. So the truth of the matter is that God is judging your heart. Do you like pastor? Do you like pastor system? Do you want to be part of a pastor system? Or you are going to repent and come out of it? Hallelujah. That is really where we are now.
I won't know where to say where to leave.
And I'm willing to pray with those who want to pray. Amen. If there's somebody who says, God, I want to come out of the pastor system. I want to be a priest. I want to bring acceptable offering to you. I realize that I am the new temple. And I realize that my soul is the priest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then God is ready to listen to you. God says, you will not need anybody to teach you know the Lord. Because you will know the Lord. So that means that there is a responsibility. God is taking the responsibility to come to you. He will reveal himself to you. You have to either open the door or shut the door. I have tried to be plain, as much plain as I can. I don't know if I need to be more plain than I have been. To say that what I am seeing among you is a pastor system. You must repent from it. Not in the mind, in action. You must function as a New Testament assembly. Where everyone has an offering. Where everyone has a fire in his heart. Even when you are at home, you are ministering to one another. Do you understand? You don't need to physically see one another to minister to one another. Do you understand? God lays burdens of bread on your heart and you minister and pray for them. You are not running down one another in your heart. You are not competing for position in your heart. You are building up one another.
Say,
building up yourselves in your most holy faith. That is the church God is building. Let me tell you something. When God gives you an opportunity, He's also giving another brother the same opportunity. The fact that you reject your own doesn't mean the right brother will reject his own. You reject it, another person will take it. Because the Bible said that the mind of God is going around, the eyes of the Lord is looking around. For those whose heart are what? Perfect. God is looking. And he's looking for hearts that want to. He comes to them. If you receive it, he shows you more. But if you reject it, he passes over. And someone says, take heed that another person does not take your crown. Take heed that another man does not take your crown. Because see, there are mantles of responsibility that God brings. When God brings the responsibility to you, if you behave like Esau, say, what does this birthright mean to me? My belly is more important to me. Hallelujah. My position in the church is more important to me. He sold it. Another person was there that was ready to carry the
resources.
God is visiting the earth. God is doing something in
Uganda.
Where you have an opportunity to be part of it. If you drop it, another one will take it.
Around.
Me, I want to be part of what God is doing. I know God has finished with church. He has finished with pastor. He's raising a new priesthood. This new priesthood has a head. That head is Christ. Hallelujah. That is the head, Christ. Amen. You and I are called to integrate ourselves into that body. And the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist, that the kingdom of God suffers violence. You know what? It says, men of violence force themselves in. What are you going to do? To force yourself in, or you say, no, I'm not really. So I believe God is giving you an opportunity to make a choice. Are you going to be part of this? Now, you may not have understood all that has been said. So go home and check it. The Berean Christians, after they heard, they went back and checked. Go and fast some prayer and see God. This thing that they were saying, what are you saying about it? The decision is going to be yours. Amen. I cannot force you, but I will only tell you from my own experience. And Brother Bot has spoken to you. He has brought a prophetic word for you. I hope you can listen in between the lines and hear the heart of God. Listen beyond the words and listen to the heart of God. Amen. So, can we bow our heads to pray? Let's bow our heads to pray. I want you to reflect on the word that has come. And what God is saying, what is demanding of us. Regarding the response that we're going to make. I'm going to give an opportunity because I believe God sent us to bring, to help, and encourage your faith. The Spirit of God is speaking to you and telling you there are issues you need to address. And you want to respond to God. Not to man. And you want us to pray with you that God might strengthen you to respond to Him. Remember, the response is to God. I'd just like you to stand wherever you are. I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come and pray. This is a serious prayer. Please don't stand up if you don't read, if God has not spoken to you. But if God has spoken to you and you want to respond, I'd like you to stand. God has spoken to you and you are sure He has spoken to you. Please stand. If He hasn't spoken to you, please sit down. Because God will take you at your words. He knows your heart and He is going to act on the response you have made to the word. Amen. Bravo.
Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see each and every soul standing here. Father, they're not standing here in this building, but they're standing before the altar of God. They are standing confessing that they are in need of a touch from your hand. Father, that they need to be circumcised of heart and mind. There is a need for consecration and sanctification. You see every heart, every situation, every home, every word, every action, whether it's done in private or Father, you see and you are aware of those heart issues. We come now asking for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that sanctifies. The blood of Jesus Christ that brings healing. Not only healing of the body, but healing of relationships. husbands or wives. As we heal that relationship, Father, it heals our relationship with you. Father, I am assuming that because of the word, there is a need for a position of consecration and dedication to the plans, to the purposes of God for each and every one. There is a need for the establishment of altars, as well as the position and the fire of God that must come because of it. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us in our minds, in our emotions, in our desires, that we put you as a focal point. You become the epitome of all that we would want or desire. And that you might manifest yourselves to us in a new and living way. Father, we come against the familiar spirit. Spirits of contention. Spirit of lust. Spirits of preeminence. Spirits of pride. My God, all of those things that work contrary to God, to drive a wedge between us and you, and to drive a wedge between us and our brothers. My God, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for a broken and contrite heart. For it is an offering that is not despised by you. It is an offering that demands response from you.